And with that vow, the bright-eyed goddess sped away, over the barren sea, leaving Welcome Scheria far behind, and reaching Marathon and the spacious streets of Athens, entered Erechtheus's sturdy halls, Athena's stronghold. Now as Odysseus approached Alcinous's famous house, a rush of feeling stirred within his heart, bringing him to a standstill even before he crossed the bronze threshold. A radiance, strong as the moon or rising sun, came flooding through the high-roofed halls of generous King Alcinous. Walls plated in bronze, crowned with a circling frieze, glazed as blue as lapis, ran to left and right from outer gates to the deepest court recess. Solid golden doors enclosed the palace. Up from the bronze threshold, silver doorposts rose, with silver lintel above and golden handle hooks. And dogs of gold and silver were stationed either side, forged by the god of fire with all his cunning craft, to keep watch on generous King Alcinous's palace now, his immortal guard dogs, ageless all their days. Inside, to left and right, in a long, unbroken row, from farthest outer gate to the inmost chamber, thrones stood, backed against the wall, each draped with a finely spun brocade, women's handsome work. Here the Phaeacian lords would sit enthroned, dining, drinking, the feast flowed on forever. And young boys, moulded of gold, set on pedestals, standing firm, were lifting torches high in their hands, to flare through the nights and light the feasters down the hall. And Alcinous has some 50 serving women in his house, some turning the handmill, grind the apple-yellow grain, some weave at their webs or sit and spin their yarn, fingers flickering quick as aspen leaves in the wind, and the densely woven woolens dripping oil droplets. Just as Phaeacian men excel the world at sailing, driving their swift ships on the open seas, so the women excel at all the arts of weaving. That is Athena's gift to them beyond all others, a genius for lovely work and a fine mind, too. Outside the courtyard fronting the high gates, a magnificent orchard stretches 4 acres deep, with a strong fence running round it side to side. Here luxuriant trees are always in their prime. Pomegranates and pears, and apples glowing red, succulent figs and olives swelling sleek and dark, and the yield of all these trees will never flag or die, neither in winter nor in summer, a harvest all year round. For the west wind always breathing through will bring some fruits to the bud, and others warm to ripeness. Pear mellowing, ripe on pear, apple on apple, cluster of grapes on cluster, fig crowding fig. And here is a teeming vineyard, planted for the kings. Beyond it an open, level bank, where the vintage grapes lie baking to raisins in the sun, while pickers gather others. Some they trample down in vats, and here in the front rows, bunches of unripe grapes have hardly shed their blooms, while others, under the sunlight, slowly darken purple. And there by the last rows are beds of greens. Bordered and plotted, greens of every kind, glistening fresh, year in, year out. And last, there are 2 springs, one rippling in channels over the whole orchard, the other, flanking it, rushes under the palace gates to bubble up in front of the lofty roofs, where the city people come and draw their water. Such the gifts, the glories showered down by the gods, on King Alcinous's realm. And there Odysseus stood, gazing at all this bounty, a man who'd borne so much. Once he'd had his fill of marvelling at it all, he crossed the threshold quickly, strode inside the palace. Here he found the Phaeacian lords and captains tipping out libations now to the guide and giant killer Hermes, the god to whom they would always pour the final cup before they sought their beds. Odysseus went on, striding down the hall, a man of many struggles, shrouded still in the mist Athena drifted round him, till he reached Arete and Alcinous the king. And then, the moment he flung his arms around Arete's knees, the god-sent mist rolled back to reveal the great man, and silence seized the feasters all along the hall. Seeing him right before their eyes, they marvelled. Gazing on him now, as Odysseus pleaded, "Queen Arete, daughter of godlike King Rexenor, Here, after many trials, I come to beg for mercy, your husband's.